Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I am surviving. That's about the best I can do. It rained for 3 days, and I'm in a flare, and I'm just like, hi, I exist, and that's about it.
What kind of flare are you in? Like pants, or like Ric Flair, where you're going like, woo!
No, a disease flare, you asshole.
Well, that's the least fun kind.
I know. But I am also
Jacob's here as well. So, Jacob, how are you doing?
I'm here. I survived my kid's first week of school. Hooray.
Yay. Don't get too excited.
Yeah, I know. There's
there are plenty of people are doing well the first week. It's the second that'll get you.
Oh, no. We're struggling real freaking hard. So I can't wait till next week. Well, actually, next week's only 4 days, too. So,
well, the best part is that doesn't matter, and neither of you matter, because we have a guest joining us today.
Rude.
Goddamn right I'm rude. Everybody we have matters. A guest, and they're important. Rick Felice from Tipping Goat. How are you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm awful, actually. I've been sick all day. I'm glad someone actually asked me how I'm doing, because I'm doing horrible. I'm sick.
Yeah. That sounds right.
We always forget to ask Joe.
I know. I ask everyone.
Like, hi, y'all, and then we go on tangents, and then Joe just sits there.
And then I sit here, and I'm sad, and I'm like, no one cares about me.
People think all the eyes are on the host, and it's really the loneliest position.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All I do is talk, and no one listens.
Come up with bad segues.
So, Rick, you were here to talk about your game, Super Slam Dunk Touchdown. For the people who don't know what this game is, give us the sales pitch. What is Super Slam Dunk Touchdown?
Super Slam Dunk Touchdown is sort of a psychotic love letter to 8 and 16-bit sports titles that didn't concern themselves too much with emulating the sport realistically and instead tried to make a fun game, particularly a fun multiplayer game. So I kind of took that notion and amped it up 110%. And that is Super Slam Dunk Touchdown. It's very arcade-looking graphics, kind of 16, 8-bit-looking graphics, but it's all driven by 3D physics, and it's pretty deep once you get into it.
It is pretty ridiculous as well. I didn't know really what to expect going into this, because from screenshots, it's literally everything.
Yep.
People are like, what sports are in the game? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So what sports are in the game?
For players, which is the important thing, you've got soccer, hockey, football, roller derby, basketball, and baseball. And they're all basically character classes. So they all handle the ball differently. They shoot the ball differently. They fight differently. And the goal is to get the ball into some kind of scoring area, which could be a soccer net. It could be a football field goal, or it could be the hoop. And you can slam dunk it in the hoop, too, which is very challenging if you're a soccer player or a hockey player. But it is possible. Then you've got all different balls, and it's, like I said, it's driven by 3D physics, so you got tennis balls, bowling balls, footballs, hockey pucks. There's secret balls to discover in season mode as well, and they all behave how you might expect. So if you throw a spiral with a hockey puck, that's exactly what happens. The football player will throw it, and it'll spin on its Z-axis. If you kick a ball end over end, if that's a football, it might land on its ear and kind of wobble funny. So it can be frustrating when it's, you know, you're on turf and the ball doesn't quite make it into the, you know, into the goal, but then you'll kick a bowling ball on ice and it'll go halfway across the court and keep going. So, yeah, it's, you kind of have to know in your head, like, this is what would happen if I punted a tennis ball.
I don't believe some of the bowling ball physics in the game. I got to be honest, unless you're talking like 8-pound balls, but because if you're talking 16-pound balls, there's no way you're throwing those things like people are throwing them in the game.
It's an astute observation.
Joe, I would like to say I would like to say the people in the game are considered to be athletes. We are not.
This is true. Yeah. Yeah. That is correct on the bowling ball. I put actual weights in for all the balls and everything, but bowling ball, when I put the weight in, the full charge kick, it went about an inch. So the bowling ball does get a little exaggeration on the hit, but it has all the mass of a bowling ball. So when it hits you, you'll get knocked out.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Cole, I know you're not much of a sports ball person, so we'll let you ask any questions you have first.
Wow, you are a real Jim Dandy.
Yeah.
What? Since it's a sports ball game and I don't understand how to sports ball, my question was, what the fuck possessed you to make 1G achievements?
I've gotten some flack for this, and I will stand by all my decisions, and I'll also say I don't know what I'm doing. So my buddies gave me all these achievements he wanted in the game, so I listed them all, and he had listed like platinum and bronze and stuff. So I just kind of weighted them based on 1,000 gamer points and divided it up and then started adjusting it from there. Thank you. Yeah, just indie guy, just trying to do stuff. I don't know.
Thank you. I'm so happy that someone had fun with the achievements.
I currently have 2 out of 1,000.
All right. Excellent.
Yeah.
I will say some of it's trolling. There's a little bit of trolling.
A little.
A little.
What are some of your favorite achievements in the game? What kind of fuckery are you proud of?
I love that, because this game still surprises me. Like, the things I get surprised by, I'm always like, oh, that should be an achievement. That should be an achievement. So there's a lot of stuff like that, like scoring a field goal as a hockey player, which is not a shot you can make in the game. You literally have to get, you know, creamed by the marching band or something to eject the ball hard enough to get a field goal. But those things happen, and it's like, oh my God, that's awesome. I should get an achievement for that. So that is definitely one of the best ones. My favorite, though, is there is an achievement called Sweet, Sweet Chivos, and it is probably one of the hardest things to find how to get in the game. And I cannot wait. I've been watching, hitting refresh on the achievement site, just waiting. Someone please get that. I can't wait for that one. That's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know. A few of them are fun, and a few of them are really hard, too. So I think you'll have fun finding them all.
Are the achievements actually live yet?
Yeah. They are.
Yeah, they went out before the game, and all the secret ones were out, too. I'm like, what's going on over there? They got some inside information.
Yeah, true achievements. They have the inside scoop on everything.
Yep, wow. Yes, they do. All right. Yeah, I just checked my thing. There's my 2 gamer score on it.
Nice. Yeah.
No, well, because I was really curious, because it seems like Xbox or the Microsoft Rewards app isn't recognizing them yet. That's why I asked. But you know, I digress on that one.
Boohoo! Your rewards.
Hey!
Because the Microsoft Rewards app is super reliable, right?
That's very true.
I like that the third party sites get it before the Microsoft site. Is that
that's happened plenty of times.
It's always fun
going
when
into
you
the
get
Xbox and just look at the achievement list, and I can tell based on the percentages. Like, oh, somebody just got this one. Somebody's getting this.
Well, you have 100 in the game. It's not often that you see an indie game come out with this many achievements. Most people are like, just do fucking 10, or we'll get 12 or 15 if we're lucky. You did 100. What made you do so many?
Because Microsoft told me I couldn't do 110. I wanted to give 110%, and I was not able to, unfortunately. So
DLC?
I can't tell if you're kidding or not.
No, I'm dead serious. I had numbered them. I put them all in, and I didn't figure it out till I hit 100. So I was like, oh, crap. And I had to go back and delete them, and then my numbering got all messed up. Yeah, it's this is what happens when you're a one-man show, and you're just kind of like figuring out as you go.
Yeah, Carnage in chat is stating you can add more achievements in games later. I know they have title updates, and they have DLC updates that you can look into. I know there's some developers out there and publishers specialize in doing easy achievement games, which your game is definitely not an easy achievement game. And I am thankful that someone is actually like, you had fun with the achievements there. It's not something you're going to drop $15 on and get 1,000 gamer score in a weekend and then never play it again. This is something you're going to be sticking with and trying to get because of some of the weird shit you have in here.
Well, yeah, and bring your friends. They're easier to get when you have local multiplayer matches going. Absolutely. I had a blast with the achievements. I played it over and over. I unlocked the achievements, all 100 of them, over and over just to make sure they all worked. So I think it's a lot of fun start to finish.
How did you get some of them? Like you said, some of them are just like come down to pure luck, like the hockey player getting a feel. Like, how do you test that?
Yeah, I'm not going to give away any secrets, but you have to have a pretty good understanding of physics, I think. You also have to play the game enough to see what happens. Some of them are very hard, and some of them you might want to go into quick match and set things up specifically to try to get it. But I think it's a lot more fun when they just happen. And that's why some of the 1 point and 0 points ones are in there, because it's like if you score on yourself, you're getting that achievement. It's 0 points and you're getting it. And it's more like it's more like you screwed up and this is proof than it is like get some gamer points. It's be more impressed if you don't get that achievement.
like the streaker.
Yeah, I haven't run into the streaker yet. I was surprised when I was going over the achievements just now. Definitely saw the Zamboni, but
I got smashed by that.
Yeah, that's inevitable. It's all pretty much inevitable. Like if you play it all the way through, you will probably get everything. If you go for the hardest achievement, you'll probably get everything along the way.
Vinny Feely in chat is asking how the idea for the game started.
I think the very beginning genesis of it is when I was a kid and I'd be just, you know, they would just let us run feral in gym class sometimes. And so just like kicking basketballs around and getting the football stuck in the basketball hoop. So I think it's always just kind of been in my head to just be silly with sports equipment. But it really began when I was on a company softball team. I had never played any kind of sport, and I was astounded at how much fun it was to be on a team and play this game. And who knew? So I made a poster for the game, and every poster I made was more and more ridiculous until it was literally looked like a poster for Super Slam Dunk Touchdown. It was just everything thrown in, and I just thought this would be a great game. And so that was in 2009, and so it has been a journey since then.
Carnage saying, I'm guessing NBA Jam was an inspiration.
Oh, yeah, for sure. In fact, the control scheme of three buttons and a turbo button is definitely, I thought that would be a good idea to follow their lead on that. Yeah, but it's proven confusing. I think people want less buttons.
I was going to say, when Joe first described this to me, because when he was just like, hey, you want to be in on this interview, he was describing how the game works. And I was just like, so it's Calvin Ball, the game, like from Calvin and Hobbes. Like where, you know, rules don't matter. Everything's out the damn window. Just, you know, it's, you know, the score's 4-Q, you know, whatever.
4-Q.
Yeah, I took it maybe a notch below full Calvin Ball, but yeah, yeah. I played a other game I could when I was a kid. I was never that into sports, but if there was a sports game, it's a video game, I'll play it. And I would always get tripped up when there's some rule, like, oh, you can't pass to that guy because of some rule, or you can't shoot from over here. And I'm like, what? Why? I want to. So this game is sort of my rebelling against all that.
Yeah, I'm the guy who, when I get a new sports game, I turn all the penalties off and just let me have fun. Play ball. Let me do what I want to do. And this game lets you do whatever the hell you want to do, pretty much.
Yeah, as long as it goes in, it doesn't matter how.
Just that's what she said. Yeah. Well, I'm not sorry for that one. I am not sorry.
out of curiosity, with the different, you know, classes, quote unquote, like how did you determine, you know, how much fight they had in them versus, like I forget what the other stat is, fight versus speed, because I saw the roller derby person in there, and I like, because that the roller derby person has plenty of speed, which I kind of get, but very little fight. And I was a little surprised by that, because my great aunt actually played roller derby in Philadelphia back in the 60s and early 70s. And if you had told her that, like, you know, oh yeah, you don't really fight that much, she would have knocked your ass over the railing.
I disagree with the roller derby character is a solid, you have to compare it to the other players, right? So put her up against soccer and basketball and baseball, and she'll be clobbering them left and right. But you got to work a little harder against hockey or the American football character. So it's kind of weighted that way because she has a double attack. You have to hit her. You have to hit both attacks to really take out the stronger characters. But yeah, get a team of roller derby characters against soccer.
I was going to say the roller derby character was by far my favorite because she just pummeled down everything.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't played her yet. It's just like I looked at the stats and I was just like, that's like an interesting choice.
What made you go with a roller derby character in the game anyway?
Well, I started out. With kind of modeling NES ice hockey. It had the little skinny guy and it had the huge guy and it had the medium character. So I kind of went that way with soccer, hockey, and football. So that was the initial three that I was going to kind of balance out from there. And I knew, I had to have a basketball player. It wouldn't be slam dunk touchdown. And I was starting to realize I have no art budget and I have no female characters in the game, and this is really bothering me, so I wanted to get an iconic sport in the game that would just read immediately. And roller derby is amazing, and anybody who sees it, you see the character, you're like, oh my god, roller derby, and people get really excited about it. So I knew right away that was a hit.
On top of it, I can't think of any roller derby video games. I don't know
games on the NES.
okay, because I was gonna say, like, I assume that they've been made, but I blank when I think of that.
Shamefully underrepresented out there. It would be a great video game. I had thought about splitting this project off and doing a roller derby project based on it, but.
Oh, hell yeah.
No Time for Games in chat is saying that now we need a basketball game. Was basketball an inspiration for Super Sports or Super Slam Dunk Touchdown?
I mean, certainly the idea of putting two different sports together is, it has that in common. But I wasn't really thinking about that because that's more like a baseball game, right? They have bases and they're running around. Like this is different in that it's more like hockey or soccer that you're running back and forth with the ball. But I'm in favor of any wacky sports mix up. I say the more the merrier.
I love basketball. I'm not sure if anyone else is familiar with the movie, old Trey Parker, Matt Stone movie. Yep.
I've never seen it. I know of it.
What? You haven't? You're the movie guy, and you haven't seen Basketball.
Yeah, there's plenty of movies I haven't seen.
You're a piece of shit.
Well, yeah, but what does that have to do with me not seeing the movie?
Fair.
I imagine we've all not seen more movies than we have.
Very true.
Except for Jacob, he's seen pretty much everything except Basketball, I guess.
I was going to confess that I hadn't seen it, but after you called Jacob a piece of shit, I'm like, nope, I'll be quiet now. Let me hit this mute button real quick.
More people need to watch Basketball.
I just don't have the patience for that kind of slapstick humor. I don't.
Shame.
I know. It makes me wonder how I stay on this show.
I know. Seriously. Like, that's... that is what this fucking show is. Oh, my Lord. So what else can we talk about with the game? The soundtrack is really cool. Tell us about the soundtrack in the game.
Oh, so good. So good. Gabe Castro is the guy who did most of the tracks in the game, and he did them early on. So I've been sitting on these season mode tracks for years, like, oh, I can't wait till this comes out and everybody gets to hear it. So you can go to Bandcamp. Gabe Castro has a page there. You can get the tracks directly from him. All that money goes to him. Or you can get it from Steam, the Steam official soundtrack. All that money goes to me. So I don't care who you give the money to, but support indies. The soundtrack's awesome. The one on Steam comes with a couple bonus tracks that I wrote. But Gabe's are way better, for sure. He's the bomb.
You mentioned season mode. What different modes are in the game? What can people do in the game?
Season mode. Play season mode. Yeah, there's other modes. That's the one I spent like 5 years on, so I'll say it a few more times. There is a 1-3 player challenge mode. You can play through various challenges that change the rules up and take away the goalies and change the points and limit what characters you can play as. And if you can get 35 points in one of those modes, you get a Chivo in challenge mode. And I will say I got 36 points on level zero. So if you can do that in 30 seconds, then I will, you know, mail you a t-shirt. That's awesome. there's a quick match. You can infinitely change the rules, change the scoring, get rid of the goalies, change the field, change the balls that are available, take the CPU players out. You can do asymmetrical matches, so you can do one against three if you're the one player among your friend group who knows how to play and everybody else sucks. Do that, they can all beat you up while you try to win. There's a mini game. It's a free-for-all, everybody just against a half court, and you know, my advice there is beat up the person with the most points and keep trying to score. There's practice. If you're really, really not getting it, go to practice mode, try to shoot around the goalie. You can try that out. There's some secret stuff. Hopefully you guys are unlocking stuff in season mode. There's a few things that have come out already, but I will say you can get end zones unlocked, and that's a completely different way to play the game.
What's some of the fun stuff in the game that isn't as hidden? Like some of the fun stuff you could kind of leak out and talk about and tease us with.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't know, maybe it'll be worth a nickel one day, but I have a spiral of all my design notes for this game. And it's amazing to just go page to page and how it completely changes and evolves. But somewhere in that book, I wrote down illegal betting mechanic and I underlined it. And I wasn't exactly sure what I had in mind, but I was really excited about the idea. So as you play through season mode, there's I guess I can say this now, the soundtrack's out. There's a shady fool who shows up and gives you some shady proposition, and it's up to you if you want to take that on or not. That is a can of worms you may or may not want to open. And my favorite part about that is when I would show it to people in a private, you know, session to like see, get some feedback and stuff. Universally, when that happens, people would say, who is this shady fool? And I was like, yes, I nailed it, because the track is called The Shady Fool, and the betting mechanic is called Shady Deals. And so I was like, yes, spot on. My programmer art and my programmer music have sold the notion of a shady guy. So it's a rabbit hole. If you want the achievements, you must go down that rabbit hole. But I will not tell you what to do. In Super Slam Dunk Touchdown, your choices matter. Oh, that's all I'll say.
Trying to catch up on chat, see if people are asking questions here. Someone asking, is this game on the summer spotlight? And then also, what is next in terms of Steam updates?
First question is, I don't know. And the second question, no one's told me. Steam updates. So I'm working on that now. I basically put all that on hold to do the Xbox version. So there's like the keyboard support is... it's there, but you wouldn't want to play it. If you reconfigure your controls, you'll get a screen that says like press left arrow, up arrow, down arrow, right arrow, you know, and it takes up the whole screen because it's pixel font. So I had to draw keys for all the keys on the keyboard, and I'm implementing that. And then I got to get the achievements in. I want remote play to work really well. And so, yeah, I have a little more work to do, but it is next. Everyone who owns it on Steam gets it for free. It's going to be an update, called Extra Seasoning, and you'll get that for free on Steam.
Extra Seasoning. Nice. What are some of the updates and changes that were added to the Xbox version that aren't in Steam yet?
Oh, so much. So much at work in just every aspect of it. The AI got a lot of work. A lot of people would complain about the AI legitimately. They'd complain about the goalies, like legitimately. So a lot of work went into the AI. The swap button's been dropped completely. You now use the pass button to swap characters, and that only matters if there's a CPU available. You now always control the ball carrier. It used to be not the case. So people would play the game, the CPU would pick up the ball and keep scoring, and they wouldn't have any fun, even though they're winning. So that's been changed. That was feedback from Arcade Edition of the game. It was the first version to have the three buttons.
Is there an option to turn that back on? Because I kind of suck at the game, and if I could be carried by the AI, that would be wonderful.
It was a painful decision, but I think it's the right one. yeah, you got to earn those Chivas. So the basketball player got an update. He used to use a lookup table to shoot baskets. Now I calculate the physics that it would take to shoot the ball correctly. So he's a much stronger character. A lot of tweaks to like football and soccer. If you miss an attack, there's a much bigger penalty on Xbox, so those characters are a little better balanced. And then the entire season mode, all the unlocks, all the achievements. There's so much in season mode. There's a reason the button's huge. It's like, click on that, please.
Dirty Dills is asking, how did you come up with all the zany location names and mascot names?
Can I interrupt real quick?
Sure.
The game on Xbox, it is actually on the summer spotlight.
Cool.
Is it? Awesome. Yep. That's cool. Nobody told me. yeah, the zany name. So, well, I ran out of money pretty like a few years into this project. So I was trying to figure out how can I finish this game and get content in it myself. And so one of the ways I can do that is adding text. And so there's the newspaper in season mode has a lot of text and a lot of different headlines that pop up and a lot of different things that can happen. And along the way, I'm always thinking of just mashed up city names or just the strangest, funniest or worst mascot names I can come up with. There's like the choreographers. I wish I had art for all of these. Like, what would that look like if you were a team? There's one that's just like the nice people or something like that.
I think I'm like the Pennsylvania ostriches right now, I think.
Transylvania.
Yeah. There it is.
Transylvania. Yep. So that's a lot. That's a fun feature. There's so much content just in those dumb names that going into the shop and just seeing which random ones are there is really addictive because it's pretty cheap and you have a lot of money coming in later seasons. So I'm always going back and like, can I make a better name? Can I make a funnier name? And I think that gives people kind of the freedom to be creative without letting them just type in something, I don't know, really offensive.
Which, you know, people are going to do offensive things in games if given the option. We were talking before you came on the show about TTP, which mm-hmm. if people are familiar with the show, we've discussed TTP on the show before. Is there any TTP potential in your game?
Well, speaking of the team names, I did my best to make sure nothing dirty could come out of it, but playing with my buddy, we were randomly assigned the team, the Washingmore, which is like, you know, a combination of like Rushmore, I guess, and Washington. I don't know. So we ended up with the Washingmore Balls.
No.
And when you get a hit like that, you can't change the name. But I imagine there's a way if you get hat tricks you can get a lot of hats on the field, and there's some secrets involved with that. But I think one of the things people could probably do if they're really determined is get enough hats on the field in order to position all the players and shove them around to draw a penis with the hats. I'm not really sure how else you would be able to do it in this game.
I have a new goal now.
All right. There's no Chivo for that. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Not yet.
Going to be in the first title update.
1,000 G draw a dick.
It's a personal Chivo. So
but you mentioned you originally had 110 achievements. What's on the cutting floor?
A few that I was having trouble implementing. One of them would have been pretty cool. It was called Breakaway, and it was if all the other players were off the screen fighting and you scored, you were supposed to get that. But it's a hard window to get because if you shot the ball and then people got on the screen, it wouldn't fire. Or if they were on the screen when you shot it and then they got off the screen, it wouldn't. So things like that got cut. And then there was achievements for all the different endings, which I think was probably a bad idea because one of the endings you can only get with multiple people, which, you know, if people hate my achievements now, you would have hated it if you like you have to plug in a second controller to get this one. So, yeah, I had to find cuts here and there, but it was nothing too major.
Not bad. And still, yeah. You have a friggin' 100.
We'll live.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's great. I have a lot of fun. I had to stop myself. I was unlocking them all on Xbox, and I'm like, wait, people might want to be the first people to do this stuff. So I had to, like, I'm not allowed to play it anymore.
As soon as you see that first completion on TA, you're going to be like, my time.
Game over, bitches. Let's do this. I fired up my Xbox the other day and it had a notification pop up that the game rating was updated to E10+. What's the story there?
I don't know. They sent me an email and I'm like, why? Did you not see the streakers? Have you not played the game? I don't know. I'm upset about it. I know more people can buy it, but now I have to go update my trailer. I have to go update my website. I have to do all this work. Like, why are you guys making work for me?
Was it originally T-rated?
It was T for teen. I thought that was solid. I don't get any parents complaining about why are there naked men on my child's video game.
I'll just add some more risque names to the name generator and get that rating back up to a T. Fight for that baby.
I was thinking, how can I get it back to T? What do I do? Dicks. I should probably just send him a screenshot of the football training, because you get like a dozen streakers all running around, you know, this football player. You're tackling all these naked men. Like, what do I have to do to get...
suddenly you get an AO rating.
Yeah, I don't want to go too far.
Well, there's no dong being shown, so I don't think that's an issue.
Right, but they made me blur him out of the trailer.
You had to blur the streaker completely?
Yeah.
Wow. What's the story that just ESRB is like, no, that's not happening?
Well, it's one of those things where I'm scrambling to get this thing launched. Like, I got approval. I got through certification on the first try. I was like, holy crap, I'm not ready for this. And so I thought everything's ready. And then they're like, oh, by the way, your trailer has to be redone. And I was like, I don't have time for this. So it's a little rushed.
No, I think the game is fun. I'm having a good time with it. Cole, Jacob, what do you two think of the game?
I kind of wish that there was more of an explanation of the controls and stuff like that with it. Mainly just because when I was first playing it, like, I looked over, like, you know, the different classes. I went with basketball first because I was just like, oh, well, this guy's got throwing ability, like, you know. So I could just chuck the ball wherever and hooray for that. And I didn't realize at first that I had to hold down the throw button, like, so, like, to charge up the shot. And so initially, like, my guy's just whiffing every damn shot. And not on top of that, I'm just like, oh, well, maybe I'm not close enough. But at the same time, what basketball guy can't make, like, a three-pointer? Like, all right, fair, on Shaq. Yeah, that's, but it's just like my dude's like whiffing everything, and I'm like, okay, maybe I just gotta get closer. And then the goalie just starts wailing on me, and I'm not like anywhere near it. And I'm just like, what the hell am I doing wrong? And then I accidentally held down the throw button for like just a second too long, and I saw it like charge up. I'm like, what? And then so suddenly that became easier, but like it, that's, as far as I'm aware, that's not listed anywhere in the game. So it was just like,
someone needs to play season mode.
Someone needs to play season mode. No, this is fair though. Like, the season mode, I'm attempting to like walk people through this, but no one reads. Like, I've seen streams where people are playing and they're like, I don't know how to play this game. What are the controls? And they're looking at the controls. Like, it's on the screen right before the match.
Yeah, the picture shows up every time.
Right. No, and I see that, but the thing is like,
yeah.
What the fuck is that controller thing on the screen?
And also the thing is that I haven't started the season mode yet because I figured, you know, I should at least be good enough to win a regular game on my own before I attempt a season mode. Otherwise, I'm just going to have like an entire season of losses. And that's not like, you know, ideally that's not fun. That's why I've just been going with single player games. Or like one-off games so far. And the training part, like, it's really just one-on-one of you and the goalie just like knocking the shit out of you, for getting too close. So,
oh yeah, practice mode. Yeah,
yeah.
So what's on Steam right now is just challenge mode, practice mode, quick match, and free for all. So season mode was created to solve all these problems, but obviously it's, you know, people have to click on it, and I made the button huge. That was one thing I could try to do, but I think backwards from
just,
almost
just put
everyone
an
in the
arrow
world.
On
so
the
I
screen
just,
that says,
yeah, just
play
do the
this
of what
stupid.
You're to do.
Play this first.
Go here.
Yeah.
I know,
but you're absolutely right. Yeah, holding down the button, aim with the stick. These are the two things, and there is a turbo button. These are the three things that people tend to overlook. And you start with those solidly in your head as you play season mode, you'll do pretty well.
And I know
season mode has a dynamic difficulty, so if you suck, it'll get easier.
I was going to say, I noticed when I played, I got blown out in my first game, and then the second game, I won in overtime. In the third game, I actually did pretty good, and it feels like the game is just getting easier. I don't know if I'm getting better or if the game is taking pity on me.
Both. Both.
Yay!
Look at the rank of the team you're playing, too. First couple games, it has to get sorted out. But if you're playing the rank number 5 or 6, yeah, you hopefully you do stomp them. If you're playing the number one team, yeah, you might have a little trouble. So do the training modes. If you can get gold medals in all the training modes, you're going to stomp this game. If you
can
get an undefeated season, you're going to do really well. If you go for all the achievements, by the end of it, you will be a master. Yeah, there is a learning curve for sure.
I have 4 of the training modes unlocked right now. I'm still fairly early in the season myself. I've been more of a spectator than a player with this game, to be honest. I only have silver in one of them, and the other 3 I have nothing.
Right on.
No medals.
Again, play with a friend. You'll do very well on those.
I know. Jacob, too. You got to come up and visit, and we got to play this together.
Yeah, damn it. I knew you'd be like, oh, hey, I need a friend. Jacob. No.
People ask for online, but on Steam, you will be able to do the remote play. So that is an awesome feature. I hope Xbox picks that up, because for indies, having to write an online mode is just, oh my God, I can't even think about it.
Is that something that was in the cards, or is it something that is in the cards for a future update or second game, maybe?
This game would have to do really well for me to even consider like porting it to PlayStation or something. I can't imagine implementing an online mode. It would have to do so well that some company comes to me and they're like, "Let us help you. We'll take 20% off the top, and we'll make this whatever." But at that point, I would be like, "Let's make Ultra Slam Dunk Touchdown 64. Let's do the next version. Do that online, you know."
Ultra Slam Dunk Touchdown 64. Yeah. What would you have in mind for the sequel? Apparently, you already have a title. So what else is in mind?
I will probably never do it. But in my mind, it's, you know, an N64 looking game with just really ugly, crazy textures that are, you know, maybe there's really bad draw distance. Maybe that's part of the game. You can't see down the field. But keep the arcade-y action. Keep all the aiming and everything. Yeah, add online and maybe go even more insane with the story, because it gets a little out there. No one has gotten these secrets yet, so I won't say anything else, but it gets pretty out there.
What? Give us one thing that no one has found yet that you could just, we could keep our eyes open for. That no one has found.
How do I say it? The shady deals escalate. That's all I'll say.
All right. So take the shady deals, make horrible life decisions. How difficult is the game? Is it to put the game on Xbox? And the game is part of the ID program. Was the game part of the ID program?
Yeah. So this game debuted as a pre-alpha demo at the first PAX South in 2015. And it was like wildly huge. It messed up my expectations for years about how well this would do. But Microsoft was there, and they came to me and they said, "We want this on Xbox." So they signed me up right away. Next thing I know, I got 2 dev kits in the mail. I was not prepared at all to start on Xbox. But they were great partners the whole way through. They took me to pre-PAX. They had me at GDC. But developing on the Xbox, it was a lot harder than I had anticipated, because I had done Xbox Live indie games on Xbox 360. That was pretty challenging, but I was up to it. There was so much more with the new systems. They support cloud saving. They support all these different profiles and, you know, wireless controllers and everything can be turned on and off, and all these things that I had to support and get correct. And I also underestimated how badly I did it the first time, because when I went to like, okay, I'm really going to get all the Xbox features and release this thing, and I was like, oh no, my file system is terrible. I have to redo this. A lot of people losing their save game because the network went out.
What are some of the old Xbox indie games that you did?
I did 2. So the first one I did was called Aardvark, and it was kind of an Arkanoid game that I had. I'd always liked that style of game, Breakout, Arkanoid. But I always felt like a home version always sucked, so I wanted to make one that was designed for the 360 controller. So with the one I made, there was kind of an exaggeration of how much you had to push the stick. So if you pushed it a little bit, it would go really slow. If you pushed it all the way, it would go really fast. And then I added a warp on the triggers. So you could actually get really precise control in a breakout game. It had a level editor and it had two-player local mode. It was pretty simple. And then I did a second game called Bumblicity. And that was a puzzle game. It launched. We were not in control of the launch date on Xbox Live Indie Games. So it launched, I think, right before E3, and like a whole pile of other games came out. So it disappeared from the front page like immediately, and it bombed totally, and nobody ever played it. So that was my A game, my B game, and I was going to do a game that started with a C that was going to be like a Connect 4 kind of game. But at that point, they shut down Xbox Live Indie Games, and I had actually started writing a prototype for Sports Ball, which ended up turning into Super Slam Dunk Touchdown years and years later. But that first prototype was XNA.
And XNA, that's the developing platform for Xbox Indie Games, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And I think that turned into Mono.
It was a weird it was a weird program that they gave that away for free, didn't they? XNA? Or at least the tools?
I think you just needed a 360. I think that's all you needed.
I have no clue. I didn't follow that stuff back then. I'm so out of touch. Kids these days with their XNAs and their XBLIGs and
TikToks.
X-Bleg. Their baggy pants and their pagers and their fax machines. These kids.
Their Taylor Swifts. Avocado toast. What else can we bitch about?
Well, speaking of odd references, there's so many references in my game. I hope everybody gets a kick out of that. If you're an old school gamer, there's so many little newspaper headlines and Coach Clifford quotes and things and endings that are referencing other video games. So I hope that's another one I can't really talk about. But the big ending in the game is a parody of a big ending from a AAA title.
I hope it's the world ending or something absolutely batshit crazy. Which, based on your silence, it might be. So I don't know at this point.
I'm not saying a word about it. I hope you enjoy it. If you get that far, it's a lot of work.
If I get that far, it's going to be tough. The game is a tough one. I do appreciate the adaptive difficulty, so it feels like I'm making progress. Is there going to be a ceiling that I hit that I'm just going to get so far and then I'm fucked and then I'm just not going to get any better, or will the game eventually take pity on me enough that it'll give me a good ending?
It remains to be seen, because, you know, I didn't get in much testing with a wide variety of gaming skill levels on this that I would have liked. So I'm curious to find out. I would hope that you pick up a few characters that you're better with, and you like, I'm going to glom onto this character because that's my main, and I'm going to try these other ones. And I would hope that you could at least beat a season. I think that's possible to get one of those endings. But if you go out for pizza, that's I think the best ending, you know, that you want to try to go for. That's getting trophy 5, getting all the way to trophy 5. Go out for pizza, get a Chivo for that. That's my favorite ending, I think.
How many endings are in the game?
I think a dozen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
A lot of endings.
Referencing for Nintendo games, referencing Sega games, referencing, I can't say it all, but lots of, there's a lot of endings. Yeah, well, you hear promises from games like, oh, you multiple endings, and, you know, depending on what you do, it's going to matter, and it never really feels satisfying. So that was the one thing I did want to do, is like give people a reason to play it another season and play it again and to try again and to try something different to have that satisfaction.
Damn, that's awesome. Well, I know we've been chatting about the game for a while. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about that we didn't bring up?
Let me think. Other than the game, it's kind of been baked into my brain for so long. I do want to say I've been doing this for, this has been my primary thing for like 7 years. So I'm kind of in a weird place in my life right now. I don't know. Everybody could think about where you were 7 years ago.
To doing finally get this up that show.
Well, that's great. But yeah, a lot has changed in the world and everything, so I'm kind of unsure what to do next. I had a little experimental Twitch show. I might get back to that, so maybe we get to talk about that a little bit.
What do you plan on doing with that?
Well, it was called Rick Marooned on Mars, and I did it for about a month just to see how much work it would be, and it was a lot of work, so I had to stop so I could finish this game. But basically, the idea is just an endless game jam, essentially. So every week, I would go on, and I'd have a different game that the viewers could play with the host, and it would kind of be half a TV show and half video game kind of a thing. And so some of the older episodes are up on YouTube, and it's a little awkward. There was lots of technical difficulties, but I went back and rewatched it, and it was pretty charming. And I thought this could be a lot of fun to kind of reboot. And I'd love to, you know, hear people's input on it and how it could be better. But one of the hardest things was getting people to watch at a specific time, because everybody's got busy lives and different parts of the world and the country. So I've been thinking about how I could run a Twitch stream that would go for, like, I don't know, eight hours a day that I wouldn't be live, but it would be running maybe, and people could join. And if it made sense, I could go live. But yeah, that was a really interesting project, and I'd like to pick that up.
And what else is in your future? Any other games or just break time for now?
The problem with that show is everything I think of becomes fuel for that show. Like, if I think of a game I want to build, I'm like, I could make it and debut it on the show. So it keeps bringing me back to that. That's kind of my thought, is if a game got traction on the show, then I could spin it off and release it. Or I just have a lot of fun making games every week. That could be another avenue.
What kind of games would they be? Just like quick little indies, or would you eventually work on something over multiple weeks?
It could go that way. What I did find was that every week I could build on the previous week, or I could take an engine that was written for one game and kind of turn it on its ear. One of the games I did was like a Pac-Man maze. And so I had the maze code, and I'm like, well, I can make a maze game, or I could turn this on its side and make it into Pachinko. So it's all about just being creative within the confines of what I could get done that week. But if something got popular, yeah, you could keep building on it until it felt like this could be a product. And then you'd probably spend another 2 years actually making it a product, because this stuff's a lot of work. But yeah, I don't know. I really don't. It's kind of been a gray wall at the end of this project that I haven't been able to see past. And I'm finally getting there.
Any signs on the outlook so far? It's only been a few days that the game's out, but any positive thoughts, any reviews come in?
I haven't seen any reviews. My favorite thing to see is just a random post of a clip or somebody doing a video of them playing and just watching them react to it and be like, oh my God, and this is so amazing. And then they score, or they get a really close match. That's the biggest reward for me, is like, okay, I created joy in the universe, and I don't even know this person, and they're sharing it with the world. And this is really cool. So, have fun, play with your friends, post stuff. I think it's a fun time.
Nice. Well, where can people keep up to date with you and what you're doing?
TippingGoat.com. Also up on Twitch on Tipping Goat. There's lots of links for all the socials on TippingGoat.com. I'm on Reddit, got a Discord on Facebook, sort of, sometimes,
Carnage dropping links in chat, and
there we go. Thank you so much.
For the people watching this on YouTube, check below the video. We'll have links to everything that you can hit up and go check out. And Rick, it's been awesome having you on. You're a fun dude.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great.
any other topics you wanted to discuss?
The pay to win sports. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about pay to win.
How do you pay to win in your game?
So as you get better and you get fans, you build money, and money's coming in. And so eventually the pay to win sports becomes your customization screen. So as you get enough money coming in, you really got to think about the next match and how you're going to purchase the things that you need in the shop to make that match go your way. And you can tilt the odds in your favor. So there's no real monetization in the game. It's just a joke, but it is a tip I want to give to everybody. And I think it's pretty funny too.
What's a good way to earn money?
Keep an eye on the fan points in the upper left. If you steal the ball, if you score, those are all good things. If you lose the ball, if you score on yourself or the other team scores, those are bad things. And also, there might be some other ways. Just keep an eye up there as you're playing. If it's going positive, you're doing the right stuff. So just keep going with that.
I loved in my very first game that I played, the little training game, I earned 22 fans. And in my second game, I lost 25. So I lost more fans than I had. People actively walking by the stadium just saying, fuck those guys.
I don't know what's going on in there, but I'm not watching.
Your own players are just like, yo, I hate my team.
All right. I wish you the best of luck in getting better, and hope you have fun with it.
All right. Well, I guess we will let you get going. Rick, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us. It has been an absolute pleasure having you on. One more time, tell us, what is the game? How much is it? Where can people get it? Give us all the info.
Super Slam Dunk Touchdown is available on Steam for $15. You can save a penny on Xbox and get it for $14.99 for some reason. And it is all sports combined, 1 to 6 players local. And I think you'll have a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, Rick, do you have any final words before we let you go?
Hey, stay sporty.
Actually, now that you're leaving, I actually just thought of a question.
You motherfucker.
Of course. No, this is how I always work. Are you planning on porting it to like PlayStation and Switch or anything, or is it just going to stay Xbox and Steam?
I think if 10 to 100 times the number of people buy it, then I'll think about it. But at the moment, no plans. I'm
really like, that seems like work.
I'm going to hang this hat up for now unless I'm very motivated.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. Take care, y'all.
Have a good night.
Have a good one.
See
you. Oh man, that was fun.
Good peoples.
News, a lot of news this week.
Oh boy.
Yeah, you ready for news?
No.
Tough shit. Game Pass, a lot of games coming to Game Pass.
Yay!
It's always good when games come to Game Pass. Today we got Craftopia on game preview on Game Pass.
Nice.
Final Fantasy 13.
Okay.
It hit console and it hit PC, so there's a Windows 10 stack for that one.
Yeah, because that's going to be a quickie.
Yeah. Quick weekend romp. Signs of the Sojourner.
That's a good game.
And then
that's one of those card battlers. So,
is it
not necessarily a card battler, but it is like a deck builder. Mm. And so you really need to, it's going to be kind of niche-y, but I'm glad to see it and I hope more people try it out because it was good.
Oh, if that's not your bag, maybe Surgeon Simulator 2.
Hooray!
How cool is that? That's on Game Pass.
Yeah, I'm excited. I have that installed, and I'm looking forward to playing it this weekend.
Well, if that's not your bag, September 7th, Crown Trick.
What is that?
The game.
Oh, okay.
And console and PC.
Sounds good.
Yay. September 9th, Breath Edge.
Okay.
The Artful Escape.
That I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, that seems like a cool game. And then I'm excited about this one finally coming to Xbox and Windows 10. Nuclear Throne.
What the hell's that?
It's about a throne that's gone nuclear?
Ah, you people are terrible. Carnage is exciting.
Oh, does that mean it's a twin stick?
And it probably doesn't have any puns either.
Golly, terrible. Twin stick roguelike.
Oh, okay, then I probably will check that out.
Yeah, you probably will. But it's not all good news. There are games that are leaving Game Pass. On September 13th, we are losing Red Dead Online. And then on the 15th, we're losing Company of Heroes on the PC. Disgaea 4 on the PC, which is a bummer. Hopefully Nis felt it was a worthwhile trial putting Disgaea on Game Pass and on Windows 10. So fingers crossed we see more from them. Hotshot Racing is leaving.
Oh.
Yep. Thronebreaker, The Witcher Tales.
That one comes and goes pretty regularly.
Does it?
Yeah. It's also a card battler, for the record.
This one people might want to pick up. The Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance. That, along with Stranger Things 3. Not only leaving Game Pass, but it's very likely they're going to be delisted as well.
Oh.
What, both of those?
Yeah.
I need to pick up Dark Crystal then.
Yep, yeah. Same.
I know Stranger Things is delisted from Steam and GOG already.
Yeah. Well, I already own Stranger Things, so I got that one in the bag, but I need to pick up Dark Crystal.
Yeah. because that one might not be around for long. Who knows? It might stick around, but I wouldn't take my chances. So
that's not the only thing being delisted either.
No, Forza 7.
What I was going, but yeah.
No.
Well, that as well.
That's on Game Pass, and that's the one I was going for.
I think Stranger Things already has been delisted.
On Xbox?
Yeah, it's not coming up.
Weird.
Shit.
What is getting delisted that you're going to talk about, Cole?
Beyond Eyes.
Tell us about that one.
The developer tweeted that she had the option to renew with Team 17 and chose not to. So the game will be delisted. And because Team 17 helped with the finishing development, like they had the starter code for it. But because Team 17 helped finish development, they won't be able to re-release it without Team 17 signing as well. So it will be gone. If you have not picked that one up, it's $14.99.
Which game?
Beyond Eyes.
Okay. Thankfully, I own that one. All right, cool. Yeah, Stranger Things is, in fact, delisted. And this, the Dark Crystal game, is that a tactics game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That is still available for sale. If you have Game Pass, you get a 20% discount.
Yeah, it's there until the 15th. And then leaving Game Pass, and who knows if it'll still be around or not. Like Stranger Things, which apparently is delisted from Xbox now. So buy Stranger Things. Yay. Windows 11 is releasing starting October 5th, and they'll be rolling it out over the next year or so. Apparently, despite my computer being less than a year old, I'm not good enough for it because of that TMP bullshit, whatever it is.
You probably just need a BIOS update, which your BIOS probably should have been updated a long time ago anyway.
I don't know how to do that.
It's not hard. It's scarier than it seems, right? Like, I had to update mine before I put my 5800X in, and I was actually looking at it, and I've been having some problems with power instability, and I, on a whim, decided to go to my motherboard's website and was like, yeah, I'm like 4 variations. I just updated it like 3 months ago, and I'm like 4 variations of updates behind. I'm like, son of a bitch. You have to stay on. Motherboard BIOS updates are they're terrifying because if you do bork it, everything's fucked, right?
Yeah, which is why I don't want to fuck with
it. Well, to be fair, though, your computer is newer and it most likely runs to, like, it'll have its BIOS, but it also keeps a reserve in case it gets fucked up. And all you have to do is, like, reset your CMOS battery to send it back to default. But
yeah, because I know what that is. Anyway, PlayStation Plus was announced for September. We heard Games with Gold last week, and PlayStation Plus got announced.
Okay.
PS4 is getting Hitman 2.
Okay.
And Predator Hunting Grounds.
All right. I don't know what that is.
And then PS5 is getting Overcooked All You Can Eat.
Everybody deserves to play more Overcooked.
Yep.
So I'm not mad at that at all.
Must note that is PS5 only. The PS4 version does not get the freebie pickup bonus. So, Speaking of awesome shit between PlayStation and 4 and 5, Horizon Forbidden West will not have an upgrade path from PS4 to PS5. If you want both editions of the game, you need to purchase at minimum the $79.99 Digital Deluxe Edition, which has an entitlement for both versions of the game. If you purchase either Standard Edition, that's all you get.
That's gross.
Yeah, that's Smart Delivery says hi.
I would like to point out that for all the shit we give Activision with regards to Call of Duty, even they don't do that.
Yeah, at least they have an upgrade path. They have a
cross-gen bundle. So, I mean, come the fuck on. If Activision doesn't do it, then you know you're being shitty.
I mean, they do have the cross-gen bundle for $80, but they don't have an upgrade if you already own one version. I think that's the shitty thing. That if you own the PS4 version and you want to move up to PS5, you have to completely rebuy the game. There is no $10-$20 upgrade, whatever. It's stupid. I hate it.
What's the potential of them changing that if enough people bitch about it?
Who knows? We'll see. People aren't happy about it, though. Suda51 has come out and stated that No More Heroes 3 is the final game in the series.
Dang.
Yeah. Which I really want to pick up and check out. I hope it's good. Online services for Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain on Xbox 360 and PS3 will shut down May 31st, 2022.
Well, looks like it's about time I finally start playing that. Although I think only they've confirmed only one achievement will be you won't be able to access it, though, or like it will be unattainable at this point.
Which, let's be honest, if you haven't gotten it by now,
well, probably it seems not like it's to. Real easy to get to. I believe, well, from the sound of it, like I read the description and it sounds like you should be able to get it pretty easily. But however, I think True Achievement says that there may be two others that may also become unattainable. So
I don't know. Anyway, Thunderful has purchased Stage Clear Studios for $2.9 million. Cole, you pointed this one out earlier today. What are your thoughts on that?
I was surprised by it. The arrangements of it are kind of odd. I don't remember the exact numbers, but like there was a bulk payment up front, and then the remaining buyout was like dependent upon Stage Clear hitting certain goals.
Yeah, I think so. They said $1 million up front.
Yeah, it's kind of an odd purchase arrangement to me. Maybe it's something that happens all the time and I'm not familiar with it, but
nah, I don't know.
It just seemed odd.
Carnage asking if Stage Clear was under Digirati. I don't think they were under Digirati. I think they just worked with them with porting games. I think they were like Digirati's porting buddy. I don't know if they'll still work with Digirati now that Thunderful's picked them up. Maybe Thunderful might pick up Digirati. Who knows?
Stage Clear, like, had their hands in a little bit of everything, to be fair. Like, I don't think if you loaded up any game, especially if it was something like for a licensed series or something like that, chances were good it had a Stage Clear logo on it.
Stage Clear worked on a lot. They did.
They were all up in everything that was licensed. So it'll be interesting to see how that benefits Thunderful.
Yeah, speaking of licensing, weird crossover coming with Super Monkey Ball. DLC character, Hello Kitty.
Okay.
Yeah, that one's going to cost like $5, and I think there's a couple of others.
They've announced a handful of other DLC characters, including a crossover with Monster Rancher. But Hello Kitty is the interesting one.
Monster Rancher is also going to show up?
Yeah, Monster Rancher. Did I say Hunter?
I thought you said Monster Rancher.
Okay, well,
which is why I was just like, oh boy.
Yeah, it's the yellow eyeball dude, Queso.
I remember him from the anime show, which I watched quite a bit.
But yeah, that's the news I got. Cole, anything on your end?
No, that was helpful. It where I saw Thunderful. I know. I know. I don't keep up with the news. I just react to it. I'm here for reactions, not information.
You're here to go next.
Yeah, next.
Jacob, what do you got?
So I've got quite a bit.
Oh, God.
I'm going to bed.
All right. Bye, Cole. Thank God. No, she's still here. So we got our first look at Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City. Which is going to be the next movie version of, you know, Resident Evil, which they say is going to be more closer to the original games. And I'm wondering if they mean by, like, you know, how low budget B movie the original game looked. They've shown like four or five different photos, and I'm not going to lie, I'm not impressed. The photos look like they look like your average, sci-fi Saturday night movie that has a budget of $500.
So you're spending more time talking about it than you should.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's going to be coming out soon.
Really?
I thought it was still supposed to be coming out by the end of the year. Yeah. is coming out November 24th. We don't. Okay. And of course, there's still no trailer for it or anything. Switch. That's good news.
Oh yeah, that's really reassuring.
Very. Shawn Mendes, the singer-songwriter, has joined Legendary's Life is Strange TV show as a producer, and he's also going to be doing music for the show.
Okay.
If that matters to you, which apparently it doesn't.
Not at all.
Sorry,
Shawn Mendes isn't on my...
On my radar. On your radar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cole, Shawn Mendes, are you a Shawn Mendes fan?
Cole just tunes out.
Cole's like, fuck you both.
She usually is. So there's a couple of producers who are leaving their various companies. Motohiro Okubo is leaving Bandai Namco. He was the producer for Tekken 7, Soul Calibur 6, and Pac-Man 99.
Okay.
And also the creator of Yakuza is leaving Sega to join NetEase.
Is that confirmed? I thought they were just in talks to see if they were going to poach him.
It seems like apparently he's in the final stages of leaving, of negotiating his leave from Sega. So there's that. China is now limiting online video games to 3 hours a week for young people, and it is only allowed to happen on the weekend, national holidays. And I forget what the other thing is, but you're pretty much, if you're under the age of 18, you're entirely banned from playing between Monday and Thursday. So sucks to be a gamer in China right now.
Yep. Thank God I don't live there.
On positive news, Bethesda liked the Fallout mod so much that it hired the team that made it.
Cool.
It's a mod. It's a forthcoming mod, for Fallout called Fallout London. It was obviously an independent team, and they've just straight up hired them.
That's so cool.
So we're, so, you know, maybe Fallout won't be so buggy. Other than that, the only other news I have is there's more to that Martin Luther King Jr. thing in Fortnite, which continues to be a little bit of a shit show as Epic completely got rid of almost all emotes during the museum, although apparently it didn't apply to ones that were related to DLC. And so players discovered that Catwoman's whip emote was still able to be used in the museum, which is like a holy shit
oversight.
Yeah, it's such a like a holy shit. You guys didn't think like you How? Guys forgot to take care of this. Yeah.
How do they let that? Oh.
And apparently as of Wednesday morning, it was still, I haven't looked to see if there's been an update to whether they finally fixed it. But as of Wednesday morning, it was still, you were still able to do that.
Well, hopefully it's Thursday night. So hopefully it's fixed by now.
Yeah, I would hope so.
You should have checked before.
Well, anyway,
they disabled dances for the thing.
Well, that was already, yeah, those were. Part of like what was disabled. However, apparently they didn't consider DLC emotes as well at the time. But and then on top of it, Dr. King's children are having a bit of infighting over it because his own I don't know how you put it, like his own legacy or intellectual property and stuff like that. One kid handles one part, like one kid handles like the official like papers and stuff like that. And then the other one handles, like the videos and the audio and stuff like that. And yeah, like apparently there's now bad blood over Fortnite, and the daughter is saying like, yeah, I had nothing to do with this. I don't approve of this. Like this shouldn't actually be a thing. So yeah, it's just, oi.
Oh, reviews.
So, yeah, we can do reviews.
Cole, you ready? Or are you muted again?
Nope, I'm good.
Keep muting over there.
Well, you know what happened was that I unmuted on Skype, but I had accidentally moved my hand over this microphone and it muted the microphone. That's what had happened.
Sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of that microphone.
Anyway, yeah.
First item to talk about tonight is the Rockat Torch Mic, created by Rockat, which is a Turtle Beach brand, available on the Rockat website for $99.99. Meet the Rockat Torch Studio Grade USB microphone. The dual condenser design and 24-bit audio quality will take your content to the next level. Cardioid, stereo, and exclusive whisper patterns give you the tools to create anywhere. Contactless quick mute grants instant control, which Cole found out. Boom arm compatibility means the Torch evolves with you. Cole, tell us about this microphone.
Hey, how do I sound?
I think between the last episode and this one, you sound pretty good on it.
Yeah, there's a noticeable difference and a noticeable improvement in the quality of this microphone versus the Fifine that I have been using for half a decade.
I will grudgingly say your voice does sound better. So.
Thank you.
I didn't say I liked hearing it. I just said it sounds better.
It's not as bassy. It's more clear, and it has more of a crystal clear tone to it instead of a more muffled bassy sound.
Yeah.
Do you think they could get rid of the southern drawl?
No.
Can they edit that out?
Jacob, this is me getting rid of the southern drawl. It gets worse.
Let me turn it up on my microphone.
Oh my God.
The southern drawl button on my microphone got stuck.
Suddenly I'll be all bless your heart.
I loved that bless your heart was like the first achievement I got in Super Slam Dunk Touchdown.
I saw that too. But yeah, for the microphone, I really like the sound quality of it. It's certainly a noticeable improvement. I've been using a $30 knockoff mic I got on Amazon like 5 years ago. And don't get me wrong, I love that little Fifine. It puts in work. But this is a noticeable boon in quality and functionality as well. Because the mic I was using had one button. And it wasn't even a button. It was just a knob for gain. The Rockat mic actually has a bass with some controls on it that the mic itself is attached to. Most importantly is that you can choose between the three modes, which Joe mentioned earlier, which is the surround, or the stereo, the I can't use proper mic terminology. Cardioid. Is that how it said? Cardioid? I can't.
Cardioid, I think.
Cardioid?
Cardioid.
My redneck's showing.
Cardioid.
I can't speak. But yeah, and then the whisper mode, which is the one I'm currently using. It's the one I like the best because it does kind of function like a noise cancellation. So I was doing some testing in Audacity, and I actually had my air conditioner and my computer fans at 100% and an actual box fan running right beside me. And you could only barely hear them. And they were more like a slight hiss in the background as opposed to actual, like, should have sounded like I was in a fucking wind tunnel. But it was actually really clear and I was very impressed. And I think it probably would have even sounded a little better if I had been sitting closer to the mic when I was doing the test, as opposed to I was testing a few different distances. And it picked up the roomy background hiss a little more whenever I was a further distance away. When I was closer to the mic, it definitely helped to cut that down. Now, if I did
boost it up, that's going to be obvious with any mic. The closer you are, the less background noise you're going to get. But I noticed with the little sample recording that you did, that you are able to sit at a more comfortable distance with this microphone than you were with the other one, because
this is a huge deal for me.
Yeah.
With my previous microphone, I have bumped my glasses on it while chatting. I had to really be up on it for it to pick me up clearly. And I'm actually able to sit a pretty good distance away. Maybe around 6 to 12 inches is probably the sweet spot, if you will. But I was even able to just set it on my desk and kind of lean back in my chair with my feet propped up, and it still picked me up well. It wasn't that it didn't pick me up well. It was just it picked up too much room noise for my personal taste. But I was really impressed that even without like cranking the gain up as high as it could go, it was really, you know, putting in work to capture my voice. I have a bit of a unique voice. We're going to use the U here. I sound funny. Okay. And I'm really picky when it comes to a microphone, because I think a lot of them make my voice, they either sound kind of like I'm in a tin can, or, and this is the bigger issue,
hey kids,
they try to boost my bass so much that it just distorts how I sound.
Yeah.
So the clarity, the way that the Rocket mic doesn't actually try to tweak my voice to an unnatural degree. I hate hearing my own voice, but it was one of the few times that I could hear my voice, and I was like, oh, that's legit how I sound. And that was a lot nicer than I'm used to. The mic does have mic monitoring on it. It comes with three volume controls. There's a little switch on the back of the bass where you can flip how loud you want your mic monitoring to be. I turned it on, it works, and then I immediately turned it back off because I don't want to listen to this.
I need to have mic monitoring on. I need to hear myself.
I can't. I get so stressed out.
Like, if I don't hear myself and I'm just muffled with the headphones on, it throws me off. I need to be able to hear myself clearly.
I will say, though, that the bass having the features on it and the all the knobs, you have the, like I said, you have the one that lets you change between the three modes. You also have a volume knob because you can plug your headphones directly into the bass. So then you have a volume knob with a mute button on that, and then you have a slider for gain. That's fine when you've got it all set together. If you take it apart and put the microphone on a boom arm, you still got to run a USB cable from the back of the microphone. It's a USB-C for the record. From the back of the microphone to the back of the bass. My biggest gripe, though, is not that you have to have that connection. My biggest gripe is where you twist in the microphone. It has this rounded up area because it's kind of on like a ball joint. Even when you've got it connected to the bass, you can swivel it around and have it in different ways. So, like, effectively, if you wanted to use a magnet or Velcro or something to connect the bass, like, to the front of your computer and then have the microphone like off to the side from that, you could do that. But if you take it apart from the bass, that big heckin' knob just stays there. And it looks so odd. And you still need the bass to control the microphone because there's no software, which is a blessing and a curse, because it's easy to just turn it on and it works, you know, so you plug it in, turn it on, and that's that, and it works. But it means that you're stuck using this bass even if you have it on a separate arm. And then it's not even a good looking bass by itself. It just kind of looks odd because it's got all this blank space at the top and then these three knobs at the bottom. There are some other nice touches, though. There is a light that indicates when you are live, and it also indicates when you are muted. In addition to being able to push the knob to mute, there is actually a movement sensor on top of the microphone. So if you are using the microphone on an arm, for example, and you don't want to have to reach over to mute while you're streaming, you can simply just move your hand over that sensor and it will mute or unmute your mic. Huh. That's a nice touch.
That's however, really cool.
You have to really watch. There's a sensitivity for that sensor on the back. Use it, because I was wearing a hat and I moved in to do a test close to the mic and it muted me. A cat's tail can mute you. So that is definitely something to like keep an eye on. I have it set down to a lower sensitivity, which means I do kind of have to sit there and like wave my hand a couple times to get it to go.
Yeah.
But also, I don't use that inline mute as often because I have gotten so used to just like muting through the computer or using my Stream Deck that it's not an issue for me. But it is nice that there is the functionality of like, oh, well, if it's too sensitive, I can turn it down some. Because like I said, my hat did it. My cat's tail did it. There are things that you've got to watch out for in that regard. But they've thought of that in the design. Now, the other thing that I want to touch on is because this is obviously a streaming mic, it's made to fit in with your computer's ecosystem. We all know I love my rainbow lights, okay?
Yeah.
RGB is important to me. So there are lights that are built into the microphone. I have a love-hate relationship with them because they indicate when the mic is on and recording, which is good. My kids are going in and out of their room.
Yeah, I can hear it like crystal clear, that door squeaking.
I'm going to make a note for David to put some oil on that door.
Some what?
Oil. God damn it. Want me to say white truck, too? Will you be happy then?
Anyway, you were saying.
The RGB light.
Fucking yeah!
You cannot customize the lighting color. That's a disappointment. I like to customize the shit out of things. If you're going to give me lights, I want to make them pretty.
You want to know what else is pretty? Mm-hmm. Carnage is pretty for subbing for his 13th month.
Ah.
He says, no, Joe, you deserve some wet pun cakes.
I'm going to bed, bye.
Wet pancakes!
Anyway.
Now, can't customize the RGB lights, but the color of the light is tied to whatever mode you're on, which makes it nice so that you can see at a glance without having to like look down at the knob, especially if you have it off of the base and on an arm. And then you have the ability to like just glance at it and know, oh, it's in whisper mode or it's in surround. I'm keeping mine in whisper though, particularly because one, I'm used to already being close to the mic to speak.
Yeah.
And two, because the light is purple, and so it fits in with my ecosystem a little better.
All right. Well, we've obviously heard a lot of the mic. We heard it over last episode. We heard it on this episode. I think it sounds great. It's $100. What do you think of this microphone from a usability standpoint and audio-wise? What are your thoughts on it? Is this worth picking up for a streamer?
I do think so. I think it's a really solid one. I like that you can pretty much sit it anywhere on your desk, and it's going to pick your voice up and give you good quality. I like that it's got a headset port, you know, that you can just plug into on the back. I will say that I do think the ports on the back are a little too close to each other. My headset is one of those that the plug-in is at a 90 degree. And so it's a little snug. It fits, but it's right there against that USB-C. So it is definitely a tight fit. But overall, I think it's really solid. I think it certainly justifies its price tag, and I give it a buy it.
Cool beans.
Yeah.
All right. Ready to talk about some games?
Yeah.
All right. Jacob, you're up. First game to talk about is called Big Rumble Boxing Creed Champions, developed and published by Servios, Inc., released September 3rd on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $39.99. Step into the ring and show off your boxing skills in a knockout arcade experience. Fight as 20 iconic characters from the Creed and Rocky movies. Take on world-class opponents across a variety of locations, or challenge your friends in local head-to-head matches. Jacob, tell us about your time with Big Rumble Boxing Creed Champion.
So pretty much if you are familiar with the old Xbox 360 game Facebreaker, that was by EA, it's kind of like that. It's not as much of a serious boxing game. It's very arcadey. There's really only like, you know, there's normal hit, power hit, grapple, And then once you build up your meter enough, you have a super move, which either completely knocks the shit out of your opponent or randomly will only do like one hit. That thing's a little bit of a grab bag, unless I'm doing it wrong, which is entirely possible. You start off with 10 characters that you can play as from the various Rocky and Creed movies. Obviously, you've got Adonis, Creed, Creed's son, and Rocky being your top guys that you can also play as. You can also play as Drago's kid, who most recently was featured in Creed 2. Now, there's two ways to go about playing this game. There is an arcade mode, which essentially you just have to beat boxer after boxer after boxer after boxer to get to the end of your storyline. An arcade mode does actually feature a storyline for each of their boxers, which I thought was a nice touch to it. My only complaint about it is that it really needs to have like a save mode during it, because when you are doing the arcade mode, you are really in this for the long haul. You're going a minimum of 3 rounds per boxer, which doesn't seem like a lot of time, but as I said, it was enough that I was just like, holy crap, like I wish that there was a save feature so I could come back, you know, after going to bed and, you know, finishing off the storyline.
I wonder if it supports quick resume on the Series X.
I don't know.
That would be nice if it did. Quick resume is like a life changer for games that support it. Like, holy shit, it's a world changer. So if your game supports quick resume, thank you and I love you.
So with arcade mode, the nice thing about it is that as you're going through it, provided that you beat like the final guy that you have to go up against, provided that you do that, you unlock one other fighter to go along with that character, and you unlock your original fighters, all three or four like alternative costumes, which otherwise you're doing versus mode, which is just a string of one-on-one fights, which all lead up to a person that you unlock as you go through. Now, of course, going versus means that, you can finally put down the controller and go off and do somewhere else, but then you're just not unlocking as much. So you have to really then put the time in to decide, how, like, if you want to get everything and get all the achievements, how do you want to go about doing it anyway? Personally, I recommend going through the arcade, because even though, as I said, you're in it for the long haul, there's way more achievements attached to it, because you do get achievements for finishing each fighter's arcade mode storyline. So,
and achievements are what matters.
Well, naturally. I mean, we're all achievement whores on this show, so, I mean, it does matter to us. So, with that being said, the game is a lot of fun. As I said, it's very much Facebreaker. It's very arcadey. The AI felt a little cheap sometimes with how it was recovering and pummeling the crap out of me. But at the same time, this is also based on Rocky, and if you've ever watched any of the Rocky movies, they are never based in reality. Rocky Balboa and Ivan Drago and Rocky IV, like, they went on for like 30 rounds, which no two heavyweight guys are at, like, they're never going to go that far, and so I don't know if the game was padding itself out a little bit and, being true to the series. If it is, cool. If not, it was like, oh my God. At the same time, I had a lot of fun with this game. It's a little disappointing that, there's not online multiplayer for it, but at the same time, I'm also okay not having to deal with like some cheater online. And I do appreciate the fact that there is local multiplayer, so you and your buddy can go head to head in this game and then pummel the crap out of each other in real life, because one of you is doing better than the other one.
Yeah, I would beat the shit out of you both.
Uh-huh. Hey, I've actually boxed before. It sucks.
we have video evidence of me tackling your ass. So
that's true, although, I agreed to be tackled.
Very true.
Like,
So
also, that was tackled on concrete, so that's a little different. I don't really know if, I mean, I haven't gotten through all the characters, so I don't know how many, who all is, the achievements do list who all is included. I don't know if there's ever going to be DLC for this. That would be kind of cool, because I know that there is supposed to be a Creed 3 in development. So, I mean, hopefully this game has some longevity, to help build excitement for that movie, provided it comes out. It's fun. If you like Rocky, if you're looking for a boxing game that's not, Fight Night, like the other EA's other end of the boxing spectrum, if you're looking for some fun with boxing and you don't want to have to think about it too much, honestly, this game was a lot of fun. Especially for a movie license game. I was pleasantly surprised that, unlike previous Rocky games, this one didn't suck. So,
well, $40 on this one. What are your thoughts?
40.
Do you not pay attention when I say this shit at the beginning?
No. Because usually, I never pay attention, because usually I'm thinking about what I want to say and what I want to talk about. So then I can constantly say, a million times
and say, it's good.
40. Yeah.
And you had fun. But,
yeah. $40 seems a little steep to me, but honestly, as I said, I had a lot of fun with it. So yeah, I'd be down for that. Yeah. 40. Yeah. 40.
Buy it. Try it. What's your verdict?
It's a buy it. I mean, cause I do understand that, it is the Rocky license. So, yeah. This wasn't going to be a little 15. I was hoping it was going to be a $15 game, but 40, I still understand. And if there's plenty of life in this game, much like the Rocky series. So go for it.
All right. Next game to talk about is Mickey Storm and the Cursed Mask, developed by Triangle Studios, published by Lion Castle, released August 24th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $17.99. Spy up and save your parents in this action-packed platformer. Welcome to the world's greatest water park. In this resort full of wild adventures and thrilling water slides, only you and your sister can stop the evil Dr. Fisher. Using the powers of a mysterious mask, this vicious villain has enchanted the entire park to finally trap your parents. Jacob, what's going on in Mickey Storm and the Cursed Mask?
So, as you as the game description said, you and your sister, or it's really you and your family, are at this, this new water park, and the plot is the kid actually says, "Man, I can't wait to vlog this," which I'm just I don't think any kid actually says that, but
I cringed hearing you say those words.
Yeah, I kind of cringed reading it, but whatever,
Oh my God. Even the description, luckily you're not alone in this, as you'll be accompanied by your special spy vlogging drone buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, so, my soul hurts.
When I first read that line, it just immediately brought in the Dr. Evil, I'm cool. I'm hip. Ducka, ducka, ducka. anyway, dialogue aside, so pretty much you and your family are at this, this new water park slash built inside a volcano thing. I don't know. It's standard spy fare kind of stuff. So pretty much, you get to view it before everyone else, but then, oh no, it's all, it turns out to be a trap by the evil Dr. Fisher, who kidnaps your parents. But thankfully you're able to kind of surf your way through. You're on these little pad things. And I'll be honest, I wanted to like this game. I really did. It has some interesting level designs, and the idea is solid enough.
Well, what do you do in the stages? Is it platforming? Riding? I can't tell from screenshots.
So pretty much it's a platformer that, also, because the game wants to divvy up, it doesn't want to be the same thing over and over again. But the problem is that there's really not enough variety to prevent that from happening. And there's really only three types of stages. There's a standard, go through the stage and, get from point A to point B. There's also time trial stages. And those things are an absolute pain in the ass. I hated every single time trial stage that I had to deal with. And then there's a third type, which is essentially you just have to collect as much energy pellets or whatever they're called, as much as you can. Like, and it's like pretty much the regular stage and the collect as much are fine, but it's the time trials that really drag this game down, unfortunately. Because the controls, like, pretty much you just have to go, like, you not only have to do standard platforming stuff, but you also have to use the environment around you to build up momentum and be able to jump to different areas. And at the same time, you also have to make sure that you're landing correctly, which the game does try to show you how to balance your little board thing that you're on. But you just end up wiping out a lot, and that takes away from your health. And then eventually the game starts introducing monsters per level, which could be like giant frogs or like little weird things floating in the air. And they're introduced a little too early, in my opinion, for your, like, for you trying to get the, try to getting a hang of the game itself. And it's just between that, and then they start also doing the time trials with it, and the time trial levels, they just start, like, you'll die, or you'll lose your life, and then it just restarts from your last save point. But then you only had like 8 seconds left to get through the mission, and so you've got 8 seconds to just die again at the same damn place that you died last time, and the game doesn't do anything to fix that. And so you're just constantly just, like, it's just insanely frustrating to get through the game. And I know that this game is aimed at kids. I had my oldest son play it as well. And he just got constantly frustrated. And unfortunately, he was just like, this isn't very fun. And he lost interest within 10 minutes. Yeah. And I'll be honest, like, I held it, like, the game held my interest a little bit longer because, you know, I have to review this thing. But honestly, if I had just bought this game on a whim, I would have lost interest within 20 minutes because, again, those time trial levels, I get the idea that this is supposed to be an exciting challenge, but the system that it has in place just ends up making it more impossible than not. And so then you have to bounce out of the level, hop back in, and try again. And it's just, like, I wish that there was a way to go through the level first, you know, just so I get the hang of it, and then, like, make it, like, oh, well, if you want to get more, you know, more gear or more energy stuff or more, like, whatever, then you could do the time trial stuff. But the thing is, all the other levels already have a goal that you have to meet, or you should try to meet, of doing, like, a time trial thing. And so you're stuck doing a time trial whether you want to or not. It's just two out of the three levels, you know, it's optional.
No.
Or two out of the three types of levels, it's optional. There is co-op with it, so, you know, you can play as brother and sister. But the thing is, again, as I said, my oldest son was just like, you know, he got really frustrated with it early on, and he was just like, I'm kind of done. So, like,
well, overall, like, 18 bucks on this one. What are you thinking?
I'm sorry, but this is a no. Like, if you, like, it has some fun ideas going for it, and, you know, like the locations are different enough, you know, to provide, like, a solid story experience, but control issues, level issues, and I'm gonna be honest, like, this is not a game that is like, it's not a port of a mobile game, but it felt like one, and it just, like, I'm sorry, like, this is just like it's a no for me.
All right, well, moving on, next game to talk about is Weapon of Choice DX, developed and published by Mommy's Best Games, released September 2nd on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $5.99. The world is being taken over by gene-combining beings from beyond the stars. Hideous new creatures are popping up everywhere, and it's up to the Solus operatives to grab their unique weapons and split some disgusting alien skulls. Cole, how about you start off with Weapon of Choice DX?
Oh boy, there's a big monster with big boobs.
Kids. Still talking about those boobs.
Yeah. Just love them titty monsters.
I mean, to be fair, it doesn't.
Yeah, that seems to me like if you're trying to sell a game, you want to talk about a strong point, and a big titty monster is, like, right there at the top of the list for a lot of people.
I'm waiting for Aki to be like, wait, what, boobs, huh?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm just trying to, like, help sell the game here. Yeah, it's a Contra on acid-style running gun shooter, and you have a couple of different characters you can choose from, and I'm going to be perfectly honest, it's been a couple weeks since I played this game, and I've played a lot since then. So I don't remember fine details, and I'm really apologetic about that.
I don't remember the names. I don't. I think
what
the characters in Weapon of Choice.
Oh God, it's standard. Like, you know, yeah, it's standard comic book names. Like,
yeah, it's very much an homage to classic run and gun shooter type games. You know, being 2D from the side view, just blow shit up and hope for the best kind of run and gun. It's one of those games that when you've got that nostalgia itch, you turn it on and then you sit back, it's like 4 a.m. and you just, well, I think I'm the only person who stays up like that, but maybe 2 a.m. a midnight run and gun session, if you will, and just kind of check out and play and just let whatever happens, happens. There are different endings you can get. There are different characters that you can save. There are pros and cons to saving different characters because they'll have different equipment. But it was just one of those kind of games where I was like, it's 2 a.m. and I want something mindless blowing shit up, and here I am. And it just scratched that itch.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very wild. Like, I'm not joking when I say Contra on acid. It is the character designs, the world, the enemies, just everything about them takes weird and turns it up as high as it can.
Yeah, monster design is top notch in this game. Nathan has a way with designs, with what he does in his games. Jacob, what are your thoughts on Weapon of Choice?
So, I mean, you probably heard most of my thoughts about him if you listened to the interview. But honestly, I was really pleased with this game because I like the idea of a lot of old school run and gun games like Contra. I'm absolutely fucking horrible at them. So this game, honestly, the fact that, you know, you could play it on easy, and on top of it, that little wall crawling and ceiling crawling mechanic, that was such a huge help for me. And it was just, it made the game a heck of a lot more fun for me. And I really enjoyed, you know, being able to go from world to world, and just the storyline is just all over. I mean, well, first off, I mean, there's multiple storylines and with multiple endings, and it's just all over the damn place. I mean, like, there's one where are we allowed to talk about, you know, we did talk about the sun, right?
We referenced it, but we didn't mention it. We didn't name it.
Okay. Well, I mean, at this point, whatever, I just said it. Yeah, they're like, whatever. I mean, if you go up on True Achievements, you'll see the achievement for it anyway. So whatever. There's an ending where you fight the sun, like, and it's just like Super Mario level, Super Mario Brothers 3, you know, level kind of crap. You're just fighting the sun, and like that's it. That's the end of that. that's the end of that storyline. And then it goes on to other stuff where it's just like, hooray, you won. Hooray, you didn't win. You know, and like there's so much to explore and all these different operatives to find. There's a lot of replayability for this game. And I really like that along with the gameplay to it. And it's, and on top of it, it's what is it? $5.99,
yep. I believe. $6. What are your thoughts?
I got the price right for once. Honestly, for $6, this is a total yes. Like, absolutely. I'm really glad that I got to, you know, I got to review this game. Because honestly, I don't know that I would have picked it up otherwise. And so, you know, if you're like me, where you suck at old school, like retro run and gun games, give this one a shot. You know, it's only $6 and it's a ton of fun. I highly recommend it.
Cool. Cole, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. It's a lot of fun. It's definitely one of those that it's accessible enough that even though it's hard, that you can still just pick it up and play and have a good time with it. If $5, $6, I'm good for it. Go buy it.
Cool. All right, Jacob, you're done. Get the fuck out of here.
Woo! Thank God.
Thank God.
I'm glad we're all in agreement about that.
Yes, we all agree. Get the fuck out of here. And I'm talking of this fruit fly, too. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, go away.
You didn't ask me if I have anything else to say.
God, do you have any fun?
No. Fuck off.
Next game to talk about is The Big Con, developed by Mighty Yell Studios, published by Skybound Games, released August 31st on Xbox One, Series X, and SP, and PC for $14.99. Hustle your way across 90s America as a runaway teen con artist. Choose how to make your scratch as you don disguises, pick pockets, and rip people off in this comedic, crime-filled adventure. Experience the totally rad 90s in all its plaid and payphone glory. Cole, tell us about your time with The Big Con.
This game is both a ride and a joy. I'm telling you, I've been looking forward to it since I saw the initial trailer back. I think it was during E3, and man, it just did not disappoint. It plays almost like a point and click in a lot of ways. You do have control of your character as she moves around in different scenes, but ultimately you're just kind of like trying to interact with certain items. You'll pick items up that you can then either sell or give to other characters to try to generate income. You'll also learn to pickpocket. Shout out to the devs who made a pickpocket minigame and then gave you a toggle in the settings to let you just turn that shit off if you didn't feel like doing it. You can just walk around and pickpocket everybody and they don't care. It doesn't penalize you in any way. It's like, do you want to pickpocket? Just press Y. Or if you want to make a challenge out of it, then you can actually play the minigame. I will say from an accessibility standpoint, the minigame was kind of a pain in the ass for me, so I did end up turning it off. That's just, my hands are fucked up. Yeah. That is what it is. So I was especially grateful that they just let you turn that off and skip it, and then you can just explore and enjoy the story and not have to worry about the one actual obstacle they actually tried to give you. Beyond that, though, the rest of the game kind of plays a little more like a puzzle experience. You'll run into a character, for example, who I'm going to try to pick one that doesn't give anything away, who is interested in stocks. So you may need to go find another character to actually learn about stocks and then kind of bullshit your way through a conversation with the first character again to prove you know what you're talking about. And then they'll be like, okay, so you know what you're talking about, but prove that you're right. So then you'll need to go find a newspaper, and then you'll need to go find a pen, and then you'll need to use that as proof that you know your shit when it comes to stocks. That way they'll give you $1,000 as a tip, right? But okay. Then you eventually you may need to turn around and convince somebody else that you're a waiter and that the place that you're serving food at doesn't take credit cards. It's cash only, and that's just all they can do. And then when they pay you for the food, then you pocket cash because it's a con job. Everything's a con job. The whole point is to try to get the money to save your mother's video store, which is $97,000 in debt to loan sharks.
Oh, God.
Your character, I believe her name was Allie. She was supposed to be going to band camp. Her mother had big plans for her to get into this prestigious college for music. She's apparently very talented with the trombone. But instead, because Allie finds out about the loan sharks and the debt, from eavesdropping, which is another element that you'll have to use a lot in the game. Not as much as it made it seem like you would, based on the tutorial phase, but you do use it a bit. Then you decide to take your ticket for band camp and board the bus, but get off somewhere else. And then you go on this con job with somebody who teaches you how to pickpocket. And then the cons get increasingly more difficult and puzzly as you go on. The areas that you're exploring also get larger. It's so full of overwhelming 90s nostalgia in every fucking way, from just the color palette to the art design. It looks like it would have fit in as a cartoon that would be on the TV during Rugrats or Doug.
Nice. Yeah, and I love the visuals of it. Just looking at the store page is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's absolutely wonderful. It's so well done. I had an absolute blast. I love this kind of game. It falls into that quirky, artful, artsy fartsy kind of concept that you just wouldn't typically think of for a video game, right? And somehow it works. It works and it works well. The puzzle elements are actually a lot of fun, and trying to approach different ways to get enough money that you need to move on to the next stage. There's multiple solutions. You can go ham and try to collect as much possible money in every area, or you can just get enough to get by on. But I had a lot of fun playing it, and I think everybody else will too.
Well, then $15, what do you say?
This is a definite buy it. This was my surprise pick of the week.
Oh.
And that's a big deal, because I played something else big this week and the big con just swept it away.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is A Night at the Races, developed by Mushy Jukebox, published by Nakana.io, released September 3rd on Switch for $9.99. You're invited to the arcades tonight. Compete illegally with other players for the top of the global leaderboards. You need the prize money to survive. Our friend Serlina covered this one, wrote in a review, and this is what she's got to say. Greetings, SML friends and fam. It's your girl, Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing A Night at the Races for the Nintendo Switch. Let's get on to the review. As y'all may or may not know, I'm a Nakana.io fangirl. Their modus operandi is to offer games that provide a unique experience. Take a drink. This is mostly done through story, but A Night at the Races is incredibly different. It starts off as a point and click where you start to learn about Nathan's world. Once that happens, it puts the story aside momentarily and presents you with an incredibly challenging speedrunning platforming game. Every so often, there's a break in the action that pulls you back into the story and makes for an interesting gameplay experience. I won't spoil the story too much, but you'll learn about Nathan's world and it's compelling. Let's talk about the gameplay. It's frenetic. Right off the bat, this is not your typical platformer. The closest experiences I can compare it to is Super Meat Boy on speed. When I first began playing, my heart was pounding ferociously inside my chest from the action. The levels don't last long. 20 seconds is on the slow side, but you absolutely must have your precision down or you'll get frustrated very easily. If you want to get a perfect level completion, you also can't get hit. The game is slightly forgiving as it gives you 4 hearts to get through a level. Lose all your hearts and you start over. It's also top down, so if you fall off the screen, you lose hearts too. The game knows it's hard, so it does help you out. There's some helpful hints in Nathan's world, and if things are really too fast for you, you can slow the speed down in the settings. Also, if you die too much, the game will show you what you need to do precisely to get over the hump. Luckily, there's no real penalty to dying other than starting over, so get used to the fact that you will die frequently. Let's talk about the controls. They're super important in the platforming side. You can jump, you can dash primarily. Wall jumping is built in. You can also move to the side with the left stick, but you don't really want to unless it's necessary. That was a habit that I had to break myself of. Your character will glide back and forth until it's time for jumping. Moving the stick will alter the trajectory and the height, so try to forget that you even have a left stick. Crazy talk, I know, but think of the character moving in one fluid, continuous motion. When you see it done, it'll click. Graphically, the story part of the game relies very much on rich and cool colors like blues and purples, very neo-noir. The platforming side uses more of the color wheel, but it's still fairly dampened. Brightness need not apply. The surprising element was the music. The game's soundtrack is fire, and I just want to listen to the settings menu on music on repeat. A Night at the Races is available on the Switch on September 3rd for $9.99, and should you buy this one, it is a buy it for me. Placing my fangirl status aside, as well as the surprise speedrunning element, I really enjoyed this game. Speedrunning and platforming keeps you engaged, and the story expands the world and gives you good info, as well as a break from the quick pace. Plus, there's 12 worlds of platforming. It will most assuredly keep you busy. Sounds good.
Indeed.
I wonder if that one will come to other platforms. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Come on, Nakana, do it. Do it up. All right, Cole, you're up. Next game is 12 Minutes, developed by Luis Antonio, published by Annapurna Interactive, released August 19th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and PC for $24.99. An interactive thriller about a man trapped in a time loop featuring James McAvoy, Daisy Ridley, and Willem Dafoe. Cole, tell us about 12 Minutes.
Can we just take a moment to appreciate that voice cast?
I know, in an indie game.
Holy fuck.
That was, Annapurna had to throw some money around for that shit.
Yeah, I'm not mad at them for it, because everybody in that cast just really pulled their weight. They did a fantastic job. And I think the voice acting definitely helps in a game like this, where in 12 minutes, everything happens from a top-down view. So you don't get character expressions and things like that. You only have body language and not actual facial expressions to help drive the narrative. And when you're trying to play a game where the story is repeating itself but changing in minor ways every time you relive it, having that kind of audio input to help figure out what's going on is really, really important. And also, it makes the game a little more doable without that kind of the just the different inflections and the tones. It really helps. As for actual gameplay, it is a top down view for the entirety of the game. It is very limited to this small apartment. It's just three rooms where a couple live. You come in, you have to find a key in a plant and unlock the door and come in from work. And then everything takes place within this in this room. I have to be really honest. Even though I've been looking forward to 12 minutes for a long time, I don't actually like time loops and games that or stories that fuck with time. I have an odd, just general aversion to that kind of narrative. But 12 Minutes manages to do it in a way that I fell into it all the same. It felt less like I was experiencing a time loop and almost like I was playing a roguelike. It was just more like, okay, that set of events that I carried out didn't work and I didn't get the information I needed and I need to figure out another way to do it. So dying or being forced to start the loop over really changed. Like it just felt more roguelike-y and gave me a reason to try and do it again instead of just going, well, everything I do is just going to get erased by time, right? So it
Drew Van felt Camp more in chat saying chrono sickness more common than you might realize. Makes sense.
Is that a thing?
I guess so.
Maybe. I don't know. There's just something about it where I'm like, the moment that time travel or time fuckery gets thrown into a game or a story, I'm like, I'm out.
I'm a guy on the internet. Trust
Drop
me.
It, bitch!
I'll take your word for it. You seem like a respectable human.
Another respectable human is my good buddy Beat Drop coming in with 250 biddies. Beat Drop, thank you so much for dropping by and for the support. Hugs to you. I hope you're doing well. Miss you, Bubby. Yeah, 12 minutes.
Yeah. So basically, every time you go through the loop, you'll get a little further. You'll explore something a little different. You'll have a little more information for the next time around. And it lets you kind of try to change the events.
The biggest gripe
that I have with that is that even though you'll learn things, you may still find yourself stuck in certain aspects of the loop because you'll just have, you know, not enough time for a certain action to complete, or because everything is like locked down on the timer, you only have 12 minutes. So you may find like, oh, if I didn't click on this, I'm trying not to give spoilers if that's not obvious. I'm being incredibly vague for a reason. If you try to click on an item and interact with it, but you just don't click on it just so, then you may not have enough wiggle room in the time frame. and then you'll be forced to do it all over again. So you end up seeing the same sequences or cutscenes several times until you can get your timing and your sequence down just right. That's really the only thing that I have as far as a gripe about the game goes. Beyond that, I thought the story that it was telling was actually really well done. I have not completed it, sadly. There are guides out there. You could do it kind of quickly if you wanted to, but I just kind of wanted to explore. But I did keep getting stuck in those time loops where I was just pick this up a little quicker, please.
isn't one of the achievements to do absolutely nothing for a whole playthrough?
Maybe. I didn't even look at the... Well, all the achievements are secret, if I remember, and I didn't look them up on TA, and I was like, well...
I want to say one of them is to do the whole first loop and just do nothing.
Yeah.
I might be wrong, but anyway, $25 on 12 minutes. What do you think?
I do think it's definitely a buy it. I really thought that given that it was a thriller and stuff, it was going to be my winner of the week. So I was kind of surprised when it got dethroned because I did have such a good time with it despite my general aversion to the actual storytelling method. But yeah, I definitely do think it's worth the money, and I hope people pick it up and check it out. And
if you're on the fence, it's on Game Pass.
Fuck it. Just download it and play it and either love it or hate it.
Good old Game Pass. Thank you as always. One final game to talk about tonight is called One-Eyed Lee and the Dinner Party, developed by Dark Chibi Shadow, published by Rattle Lake Games, released August 27th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and Switch for $4.99. Help Barricus and Lee escape a cursed bunker or die trying this point-and-click visual novel hybrid. Our friend Serlina covered this one as well. This is what she's got to say. As always with visual novels, I won't get into the story too much because of spoilers, but I will get into how the story made me feel primarily. With this story, I was pretty interested from the jump. You find out that Lee is cursed or blessed, if you ask him, and curing him of this affliction serves as the background MacGuffin of the story. I like the story. Barricus and Lee are two very distinct personalities and good foils for each other. As much as they argue and banter back and forth, there's a mutual respect between them. The dialogue is pretty good. There are some laughs to be had and some surprisingly difficult moments, which I was thankful for. I'll never turn my nose up at a good balance. Let's talk about the gameplay. It's point and click, y'all. You see an object or person, and it lights up, and you click on it to get more info about it. Not difficult at all. The tricky point is getting your points and clicks to line up with what you're trying to do at that point in time, and that's a bit annoying. Be prepared to cycle through the rooms and dialogue options several times, trying to milk everyone and everything of that one precious nugget of info that you need to know to open up the next part of the game. You will cry, how do I get this open, at least twice during your playthrough, I promise. Let's talk about the graphics. The graphics are good and serviceable. Lee and Barricus are very expressive with their various mannerisms during different situations. I also appreciate that their expressions don't always sync up either, so that's cool. There's plenty of detail to be had in your underground hidey hole, and I found it amusing to count all the references to fruit. There's even a point where Lee mentioned Barricus' attention to detail, and I got a kick out of that. The art style is a bit of a throwback to old school point and clicks, but it's still pretty bubbly and light. There's one thing I didn't care for, which was the font choice. I felt it was too mechanical for the overall cute art style. The major glaring, oh my god, how could you do this to me, is the ending. Okay, well, this game has four endings, no problem. If you don't do it just right and get the exact items you need, you will lock yourself into one ending, thus forcing you to start over from the beginning of the game. I hate that. I hate that with every fiber of my being. Yes, I realize that the game isn't long, but at the same time, as I'm trying to get all the other endings, I realize I couldn't, and that's just awful. You are not holding my platinum trophy hostage, do you hear me? One-Eyed Lee and the Dinner Party is available on PS4 and PS5 right now for $4.99 as well as on other platforms. And should you buy it, there's no reason for you to not buy it. I mean, it's under $5. It'll take you about 2 hours on your first playthrough and it's done by basically one dude. Go buy it, support, get some entertainment. Fuck it. Why not? Right? And that's why we have that rating.
That's such a good rating.
I heard you gasp when I said one last game to talk about. Did you think it was yours?
No.
You thought it was yours.
Yeah.
I heard that and it's like one last game to talk. Gotcha. Gotcha to freak out.
Oh fuck, what I forget.
Oh man. Well, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one. Cole, thanks for being here. I guess. Thanks to Jacob for being here, I guess. Another big thanks to Rick at Tipping Goat for coming on, chatting with us. Super Sports Ball. Go sports with the sports ball and slam dunk touchdown the sports balls. It's $15. You should play it. You should buy it. It is good shit.
Yes.
I think it's $15, right? It's $15. Let me check my notes. Watch it be like 12 and I'm an idiot.
I think he said $14.99.
Yeah, $14.99. Yeah, there we go. $15. I don't look like a complete fool. Yes, I do. Cole, do you have any final words to end the show?
Play games. Have fun. Goodbye.